Last week, Pastor Dave brought an awesome message on Blessed Beyond Measure, and he spoke on the joy of being a Christian, the joy that we should have in our life. And this morning, I'm going to chase him down, and I'm going to bring praise. Because I believe these are two parts of the Christian walk. We all take part in, but they tend to be background. They tend to be ancillary. And I believe that they should be something that's on the forefront of our life and the forefront of our walk. When people see you as a man or woman of God, they should see somebody who lives with unspeakable joy. They should see somebody who has the praises of God on their lips. Amen? And today, I want to discuss to you, I want to preach to you about the power of that praise. And we're going to go into Old Testament here, and I got a little bit to read to start with, so bear with me. I'm going to go to the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Yes, you can preach out of Chronicles. It doesn't just repeat everything else. For the most part, it does. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm going to start in verse 14. Listen, I'm going to encourage you this morning. If you need encouragement in your life of victory, if you're looking for victory in something in your life right now, I want you to read this chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It'll change your perspective on victory. It'll change how we see things. So I'm going to speed forward, but I'm going to give you just a little bit here of what we have. What we have going on right here is King Jehoshaphat has received word that the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people, the inheritance from Mount Seir, want to come and destroy Judah and Jerusalem. This is what is happening. This is word that has gotten to him. Okay? So just like anybody else and everybody else, when somebody, hey, I'm coming to kill and destroy you, there's a little bit of fear that rises up. And he goes before the Lord. And we're going to pick up in here what actually happens in this story, and we get a word from God, and we're going to use this, and we're going to hold on to this word today. Amen. So we're going to start in verse 14, and we're going to go through 27. It says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the sons of Asaph. In the midst of the assembly, he said, 'Listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" Hang on to that. "Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerul. You will not need to fight in this battle." Somebody say amen on that one. "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. They stood up and praised the Lord. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Then when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inheritance of Mount Seir and utterly killed and destroyed them. And when they had made an end of the inheritance of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and there were the dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away from their spoils, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they were stripped off of themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoils because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baccara, and for they were blessed of the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called Valley of Baccara until that day. Then they returned, every man in Judah in Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat was with them in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord made them rejoice over their enemies. Somebody say amen. The enemy was set out against Judah in Jerusalem, just like the enemy is set out against us in our life today. He wants to utterly destroy us. And that was the plan. The plan all along was to wipe out Judah in Jerusalem until the word of the Lord came to the king. Earlier on in that verse, it says that King Jehoshaphat had called the nation to prayer and fasting. And they did so at the word of their king, trusting the word of the Lord. The enemy wants to put fear in our hearts and our lives today. There's circumstances, there are trials, there's the attack of Satan himself against you. And he's attacking you to utterly destroy you. Right? How many of y'all have ever had a trial in your life? Most of us, if not all, have faced some situation that looked hopeless. Amen? We just say, God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know where to turn. God, what do you want from me here? This situation is hopeless, God. The circumstances that I'm faced with are now hopeless. What do I do? We need to go before God. We need to take ourselves, throw ourselves on the ground. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat went to the ground before God and the people. He didn't know what the plan was. He didn't know what God was going to do. Neither do we. We don't always get to see the end result before it happens. We don't get to have an image of the victory before we get there. Why? Because if we did, that wouldn't require faith. It wouldn't require belief. If we had a picture that was sitting in front of us where we knew there was victory, then what good would there be about believing in God? What good would there be about going through trials? What would we learn from what we're going through if there was an image already there? Jehoshaphat had no choice but to stop what he was doing and say, well, this come out of nowhere. God, I need you. People of Israel, we are going to pray. We are going to go before God. I want to encourage you, when you're going through a trial and a circumstance, this is something that was that the Lord showed me. He didn't keep it to himself. He brought the family. When we're going through things in our life, especially us adults, and you know, I'm an adult now, I had to grow up. I fight against it. Amen, brother. I fight against it. I rail against growing up. Okay? But what God showed me was, is bring your children in. When you're going through something, bring them in. Let them see how we handle things as a man and woman of God. Let them see how you and Sarah take this to the Lord. Don't just protect them and keep them out. You want to protect them. But if they never see mom and dad doing something, if they don't see leadership doing something, if they don't see authority doing something, then they're never going to learn to do it themselves. Jehoshaphat called all Judah and all Israel, hey, these people are coming to kill us. We got to go to God. I'm not doing it by myself. Let's go to God. And the enemy wants to scare us. See, this is a fear tactic the enemy uses, right? The enemy uses fear to lock people up. How many of y'all have a fear in your life to where you get locked up? Like physically, your body locks. Okay? I have a terrible fear of heights. Wasn't always this way. It's gotten worse as we go. Okay? There are certain things that I've been to New York City. I've been on top of the Empire State Building, and I love it. When I did that, I could do that, and it was no problem. I wouldn't be able to go within 5 feet of the fence without my knees starting to lock. It physically locks up. I can't do anything about it. Okay, and you just start to shake. There are other fears in our lives. Who has a fear of spiders in here? Come on. Where's our ladies and the cockroaches? Come on. Cockroaches, come on now. Sarah calls me. Mitchell, there's a cockroach over here. Kill it. I'm all the way in the other room. Just kill a thing. It was in the garage. Then what are you worried about? I'm not chasing them out in the garage. They need a home too. If it's in the kitchen, no, it's not in the kitchen. It was out. Well, that's his place. You know, we get the bug spray in this area. We're not bug spraying the garage. But there's things in our life the devil uses as fear, right? What happens when you go into work tomorrow when your boss says, hey guys, I'm sorry, but you've been let go? What happens then? We get locked up by the enemy. What happens when a marriage is struggling and the only word that comes to mind is divorce? You get locked up. Whoa. What? I didn't think we were here. What about when you get news that you have cancer? What about when you get news that you had a miscarriage? The enemy wants to use life. The enemy will use life to lock you up. He will take the moments of life that God wants us to build stronger in Him. He will use those moments to try and separate us from God. He wants to put us in panic. Everybody in here who has a cell phone gets these crazy phone calls, right? Everybody, y'all get these phone calls? You look down at your phone and you know, I don't know this number. Probably shouldn't answer it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Boom. Hello, this is Chad. Chad. This ain't Chad. It's the IRS. We need your money. Right? Why do they do that? It's a fear tactic. They want you to stop what you're doing. Listen to what they say, follow their instructions, and they want to take your money. Listen, I said this all the time. I say this all the time. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. It works. It works. People daily are giving money to people over a telephone call because of a fear tactic. You see, listen, this is what happens when you give in to that fear tactic. It puts you in a state of panic and confusion. That's what fear does for us. It puts us in a state of panic and confusion. The enemy wants to confuse you, and he wants you to be in a state of panic. Why? Because it alters our decision making. When Jehoshaphat heard the word of the Lord, he could have easily gone back to the camp and said, all right, get the military, captains here. Everybody, we're going to meet in my house and let's discuss how are we going to fend these people off. What are we going to do? What if we just snuck around the backside? Well, I don't think that's going to work. What if we come out this way? Well, that ain't going to work. What if we barter with them? With Jacob and Esau, he sent out gifts well before we met him. Why? He was scared. He knew that essentially he stole his brother's birthrights and the blessing of the firstborn. And when it came time for them to cross paths, Jacob was scared. He was in fear. This man might just kill me, and he's the one who can do it. Let me send out before me. We're gonna parade him with a bunch of things that God has blessed me with, okay, and see if he bites on that. Panic set in. But Jehoshaphat wasn't going that route. No. Let's take a minute. Let the panic sit down. Let's go before God and see what God wants to do. You see, some of you right now, you're waiting for victory in your life, but you've given in to the panic of the enemy. And right now, you're kicking your feet, you're waving your arms, and you're trying to do everything you could physically do to get away from it. But you haven't actually gone to God. You think you're going to God, but you haven't actually given everything to God into His possession. There's a video on the internet. The guy's crazy. He shows you how to survive falling in ice, water. It's snowing up north already, and you know, people falling into frozen ice or lakes or stuff kills X amount of people a year. I don't know the number, but it kills a lot of people a year. And it's a 5-minute little video of how to survive that situation when you're by yourself. And you fall in down into the ice. First thing he says, and he falls in ice. He don't just do it. He gives you a demonstration. I pray there was a fire and some warm clothes afterwards. The guy, he's standing on ice, and he's like, this is solid ice. That ice I already know is weak. I'm going to step onto it and fall in to show you what you do. So he stands on it, and within about 3 seconds, shoop, he falls in up to his shoulders. Okay, and he says, number one thing, do not panic. Slow your heart rate down is the first thing to do. Stop kicking your feet. Slow your heart rate down. Number one thing that kills people in dangerous situations is they panic. The more you kick your feet, the more you throw your arms, the faster your heart rate goes, the more your breath comes out of you, your body begins to lock up, and then you give way to frostbite. The enemy wants to do the same exact tactic to the church. He wants to use that same tactic to you. He wants to come at you, make you feel like you're drowning, and he wants you panicking rather than taking your time and processing what's going on and bringing it to God. The guy said, get your elbows out wide, hands go straight out, stop moving, lean forward, start kicking your feet. Once your heart rate's down, it'll lift your back end up. Then you can use your arms to drag yourself right on out. And he showed how quickly, within 30 seconds, he was completely out. He said most people would be here for 2 to 3 minutes trying to fight their way out of this because they don't properly know how to get out of the broken ice. Christians today, we don't have a proper understanding how to get out of the clutches of the enemy when we're in a panic situation. So what do? We flail our arms. We kick our feet. And we're wondering, God, why aren't you helping me? God, where are you? God, what are you doing? But Pastor, I'm going to God. No, that's not going to God. That's panicking before God. We don't want to panic before God. You see, it gives you a sense. It gives you a sense of security, but in all reality, it's false security, right? So all it is false security. When somebody ties you up, I couldn't stand that as a younger brother when my older brother would pin me down. Listen, what does it do? When somebody pins you down, it causes you to freak out. It causes panic. and you kick and you throw and you fight. Only thing it's doing is burning your energy to get out of the situation. But if you stop for a moment, took a deep breath, thought about what was happening, you can usually get out of it. But you see, that's not what the enemy wants for us. He's not looking for us to get out of it. You see, Jehoshaphat said, not only are we going to go to the Lord in prayer, but we're going to praise God, and we're going to set people up to praise in front of us. He sent out singers and worshipers before them on their journey. There's power in praise, people. There's power when we praise the name of Jesus. What is praise? Praise is to express a favorable judgment of. Praise is to glorify God, especially by the attribution of His perfections. And you say, how does this work? How does giving God glory, how does giving God praise? It has nothing to do with my circumstance. To you, it doesn't. But to Him, it has everything to do with your circumstance. Because when we can take a moment in our life when we're in distress, and I can lift my hands and say, you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. You are my helper. You are my peace. You are my strength. You are my rock. God, I need you. God, I long for you. God, I desire you. When we can lift our hands in a moment in a state of distress and give God the praise and God the glory, the presence of God will overwhelm you. The peace of God will rest upon you. And the leading of the Holy Spirit will then begin to take control. That's what we need to start doing as men and women of God. We got to get out of the state of panic in our life. We got to get away from it. And we got to start going before God with praise and thanksgiving. We got to be able to go before God and say, God, I don't care what the enemy wants to do. I don't care what life is throwing at me. We can sit here all day long and go tit for tat with one another about who's had something worse happen to them. That doesn't matter. We're not gaining any ground in victory when it's all we're trying to do is go tit for tat with one another. It's important for every believer to praise God throughout our day and throughout our lives. Look at Psalms 92, 1 through 2. It says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. All day, every day, believers should have the praises of God on their lips. No matter what happens to our life, we allow ourselves to get worked up by the schemes of the enemy. He knows. He knows exactly what it takes. He's got a book. He's got a little book with everybody's name on it. And this ain't the book of life. This is the book of hell. But what's in that little book is a list of all the things that He's already tried on you. It's a little pencil mark. Well, that one didn't work. Well, that one didn't work. But when you go down that list on His little book, they got something circled. That right there gets them every time. Listen. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. He's not looking for new tricks, because He already knows the ones that He needs to know to get us hung up and caught up. But you want to know something? He can't account for the praises of the people of God. He can't account for what comes off our lips daily. When somebody that's lost in this world sees my life, when they see your life, they should say, doesn't matter what happens to that person, the praise is there. Praise is on His lips. Doesn't matter what happens. Brother Ray, that football game, it doesn't matter. We need, look, he's buried. We need to pray for Brother Ray. That was one too many overtimes for him. But look, you see, we get put in that state of panic. And what boggles my mind is we see men and women of God struggle with things in our life. And listen, not that things that we go through, things I labeled earlier, sickness and disease and the loss of a child and the loss of parents and financial things, not that these things aren't big, they're huge in our life. They're huge in the grand scheme of my life, but they're very small and insignificant in the eyes of God. We need to have a heavenly perspective on things. You see, we can get all excited on a Thursday afternoon when the Saints have beaten the Atlantic Falcons, right? We do. Well, Pastor Dave's smiling now. I got him. He's smiling now. He loves it. We can heap all kinds of praise on our football teams. Drew Brees is the GOAT. We can argue that with anybody. Look at his stats. Look at his numbers. Michael Thomas, Marcus Lattimore. Look at the defense. Look at what we're doing. It's no problem for us to start praising all these other things. But where's the praise of God from our lips on a daily basis? We can argue with people till we're blue in our face how great things of this world are. But where's the church to stand up and to say, let me tell you how great my God is. Amen. This is where the church needs to be. That world out there is lost and dying. They're looking for somebody to share the good news with them. We look at the Bible and sometimes we say, well, I don't know exactly what to share. I don't know what I'm going to share that's really going to speak to that individual's life. How about you praise God to him? What's the greatest part of our testimony? What God has done for us, which is what? Praising God for what he's done for us. There's praise in our testimony. This is where I was, and this is where God has brought me to. If he can do it for me, surely he can do it for you. It's not about knowing all the verses in the Bible. It's not about knowing the chapters of the Word of God. It's not being able to sit there and quote 15, 16, 17. It's about sharing the praises of God with the lost. People want truth. If that's all I have is 10 verses of Scripture and no testimony to back it up, I'm not doing any good for the gospel out there. Because they want to know, well, what has God done for you lately? What has God done for you lately, Mitchell? What has God done for you lately, Josh? That's all the world wants to know. That's all that they want to see. They're not interested in what you do for the church. They're not interested in the title you might have in the church. They don't know what that even means. But what has God done for you? And as a believer, I got to look at my life and say, what have you done for me lately? What have I been praising you for? Has I been praising you for that job that I still have? Have I been praising you for the health of my children? Have I been praising you for the tender lovingness between my family members? Have I been praising you for all the greatness that you've done? Or do I only praise you when you get me out of the pit? Do I only praise him when he pulls me out of the ice? What about the times that he stopped you from falling in the ice all of again with? That he never let you go down that road? We forget about those moments because they get lost. They get lost in time. That's why it's important for us to praise God. You see, praising God will make our enemies flee, amen? It makes our enemies flee. We prayed about breakthrough earlier. Praising God knocks walls down, amen? Let's turn to Joshua. I'm going to read two accounts in Joshua chapter 6. When the Lord instructed Joshua to lead Israel against Jericho, he tells them, listen, You're going to take our people. You're going to go around this place. March around that city once a day for 6 days. Then on day 7, I want you to march around it again. Except this time we're going to do it 7 times, and I'm going to tell you when to go. In chapter 15, verse 16, it says, "But it came to pass on the 7th day that they arose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner." So this is day 7 here. "On that day, only they marched around the city 7 times, and on the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given us this city.'" Shout, for the Lord has given us this city. He didn't say go run at the walls and jump kick the walls in. He didn't say get the battering rams. He didn't say load up the flaming balls and hurl them over the walls. Shout, for the Lord has given us this city. In Joshua 6, verse 20. "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpets and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up in the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city in Jesus' name." You see, listen, some of you right now are staring in the face of a circumstance that looks hard. It looks difficult. But you're not shouting the praises of God at it. You're trying to figure out, how can I get in through the walls? You see, Joshua sent 2 spies out to go investigate Jericho. Come back with that good report. Listen, the report of the Lord is that we have victory in Jesus' name. Amen? We need to begin to listen to the report of the Lord in our life. Not the report of the enemy. Not what Satan wants us to do. Not the panic. Not the fear. And not the worry that the enemy wants to put on our life. We need to believe in the report of the Lord. And guess what? It says we win. It says we win. So when we're standing before that wall, and some of those walls are bigger than others at times. Some of those walls aren't so big and you can just kick them over. But some of the walls seem huge. Lord, how are we going to do this? How are we going to see our way through? So the Lord said, walk around that wall 7 times and give it a shout. Victory over trials and circumstance, it's not on the load we can carry on our shoulders. Week in and week out, we can have the altars full of people who saying, "I got too much on my shoulders. I got too much on my shoulders. I need prayer. Guys, I need prayer. My life is heavy. The things I'm going through are heavy." Here's the thing. Jesus never asked you to put it on your shoulders. He said it's on His shoulders. See, the church gets consumed with trying to be victorious through Jesus' name rather than being victorious in Jesus' name. There's a difference. We need to know the difference. Some of us give up on day 3. I'm going to let that sink in. If they would have given a big shout on day 3, what do you think would have happened? The enemy would have knew you was on the other side of that wall and you'd have been slaughtered. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody here. We give up on day 3 a lot of times. Sometimes we give up on day 5. Sometimes we give up on day 6. There are also times where we get to day 7 and we can see victory right there, but we're too lazy to go around 7 times. We stop short at 4. Jesus! Boom! And then we get hit. What happened? What happened? We didn't follow the command of the Lord. We didn't follow the word of the Lord. You see, listen, church, we can't give up our praise on God. We can't give up on our circumstances, and we can't let it overwhelm us. We have to follow the word of the Lord and praise His mighty name. And you may be in that circumstance for one day, but you might also be in it for 1 year. It doesn't matter. What matters is are the praises of the Lord on your lips. When we fight our battles, we don't fight our battles in the flesh. Listen to both of these stories. Did they ever have to pick up a weapon? No. Jehoshaphat got all the spoils of war and never stepped foot on the battlegrounds. Why? Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was praised beforehand. And he said, I'm going to keep you out of this. I'm going to keep you out of this. He went before the Lord in fasting and prayer. Some of us today need to go before the Lord in fasting and prayer. We need to go before God and say, God, I'm weak. I need you in this circumstance. I need you in my life. I need you to take the reins. And I'm giving you the reins because you are victorious. You are the Alpha and the Omega, God. You have my victory already secured on the cross. In the end, I will be with you in eternity. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you. But we get in the flesh sometimes and we look at circumstances and we say, well, if there's not healing, then there's not victory. That's not true. We can't look at things with our earthly eyes. We've got to be able to see things with heavenly eyes. One of the most difficult things I had to go through was losing both my parents. That was a moment for me to be very, 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 very mad at God. And let me tell you something. The devil had that one circled. My brother still has anger towards God. He's coming out of it. He's coming out of it in Jesus' name. I found out he's been going to the church in Chalmette for months now. Didn't even say anything, didn't even tell me. Just started showing up. He posted a picture on Facebook outside the church. Didn't have the church name, didn't have nothing. I said, I see you, I know where you at. And he just put a laughing emoji on there. But you see, the devil had that circled. I gave God the praise. I said, God, this ain't about me. I don't know what the end result of their life will be. I know what selfish me wants. Selfish me wants conversation today. Selfish me needed a little more rearing from my parents, a little more guidance, a little wisdom. But God said, no, I got different plans. And I had to be willing to give it to him. You see, for me personally, it looked like defeat. But to God, when I begin to step back and see a heavenly perspective, they say, how do you feel about that? That was what was best for them. Right. I know where they at now. Right. I'm trying to get there. They got an early ticket. That's okay. I got my ticket too. Right. Amen. You see, we have to look at things the way God wants us to look at things and not the way we see them. When we begin to praise God, when we begin to offer our praises to God, not only does it make our enemies flee, not only does it mean that we get to have victory over the circumstances, not only does it mean that we don't even have to fight in some of the battles because God's already secured that for us, it means we get to be in his presence. When we praise God, his presence is there. The disciples in the book of Acts, they went out preaching the gospel. And in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were brought to jail. And they had to meet before the Sanhedrin and before the leaders and the elders and everybody. And they said, we don't even know what's going on. We don't understand it, but here's what we're going to tell you to do. Stop using the name of Jesus. End of the story. You do it, this is where you end up. Peter and John said, can't do that, boss. That's not going to happen. Listen, had them two men refused to let the praises of God off their mouth and shut up the name of Jesus, the book of Acts stops in chapter 4. The book of Acts stops in chapter 4. And we don't get to see the end. Why? Because the enemy would have won and had victory. And sometimes the enemy has come before you and he said, listen, this is not working for you. The name of Jesus is not working for you. The name of Jesus has you in the circumstance that you're in. The name of Jesus has you in this predicament as it is. And for some of you, he's got that circled on his piece of paper. And you look at him and you just need to laugh and say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You see, they weren't willing to shut up the name of Jesus because they knew with the power of the name of Jesus, that there was power in that name, that there was presence in that name. In Psalms 22:3, it says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. God is holy, and he inhabits the praises of his people. Are we his people today? Say an amen if you're his people. Amen. If we are his people, then he will inhabit the praises that comes from our lips. Never think that you're in a place too far for where God's presence will not show up when praises are offered to him. He is always there. Always in the midst. Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. We need to praise the Lord, our God. I'm going to close with this one thing. In the book of Psalms, chapter 132, we see captives of Babylon, the nation of Israel. They were run from Zion. It says that they hung their harps and their instruments in the trees, because there was a time of mourning and weeping, for they had lost the land of Zion. And that's important. I want you to see this. There's a time and a place for mourning and tears. I'm not telling you today that your circumstance isn't going to break you to tears and you're not going to mourn before God. There's a time for that. It didn't say they threw their instruments in the river. It didn't say that they broke them. They hung them in the trees so they can return to get them. You see, the enemy wanted them to use those instruments to praise on their end. And they said, I will not use my instrument to praise God in this foreign land, and nor will I let my captors cause me to praise in this place. So they hung their instruments in trees. And what I'm telling you is this. It's okay to mourn, and it's okay to shed tears in your circumstances. Don't throw your instrument of praise away. Right. Don't put your instruments of praise out of reach to where you can't get back to it. Right. They didn't destroy it. They kept them where they were always within reach. Amen. I want you to stand before me today. Stand to your feet today. Never, I'm going to use that term again, never, ever underestimate the power of praise. Brother Ray, come on. Never underestimate the power of praise in your life. The Bible says the weapons we fight with are not carnal. They're not weapons of this world. They're not flesh and blood. But we fight against principalities. We fight against the dark things of the enemy. And listen to me, it doesn't matter how big our arms are, how much we work out. It doesn't matter how many guns I have in my house or if I got bows and arrows. It doesn't matter if I got a battle tank parked in my driveway. As long as I have the praises of God on my lips, the enemy has no chance at defeating us. He has no chance at taking my life away from me. Amen. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Come on, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. If you're here this morning, and you need the praises of God on your lips again. The enemy had some things circled about you in your life. And they've been, and he's come at you. He's used those tactics. He's used those schemes. And those schemes have been allowed to take the praise of God off of your lips. I want you to raise your hand this morning. Come on. If you're saying today, I need to regain the praise of the Lord in my life, lift that hand up high. Hallelujah. I want those who raised their hands, I want you to come down to the altar and we're going to pray with you today.